he is. How's it going? This is Ben.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Great. Hey, how do you slowly pronounce your last name for me, would you?
Dolce?
Oh, it's okay. Dolce?
Yep, Corey.
Corey. Perfect. What does Dolce mean? Good life or?
Sweet.
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 Sweet. Dolce Vita. What's Vita mean? Dolce Vita.
Life.
Sweet life. There it is. Okay.
And then Corey's heart. So sweetheart.
Oh, perfect. So what part of Italy is your family from?
Naples.
Naples. That's good stuff. Where'd you practice?
Calgary.
Calgary. Oh, okay. Well, you know, I'm really interested in talking to you because it's unusual for members to have, you know, a pretty dramatic increase in new patients in such a short time. And I don't know if it's a fluke, only time will tell. But it kind of is intriguing to me, and I think there might be a lesson here for my members. And I think I know why you had a jump, but I may be wrong. But before I reveal what I think, maybe you can tell me, what you were doing a few months prior to becoming a member, and what did you do differently since you've been a member? And it says here that you've been on with us for how long?
March 1st was our official kickoff.
Okay, March 1st. So we're talking, today's what, so it's 2 months, 2.5 months?
Yeah.
Something like that, 2.5 months. Okay, so what did you do different? What did you do prior to coming on board, and what did you do differently in the last 2.5 months?
Yeah, last year, the only difference was that a good friend of mine is a marketing genius, and he was helping me optimize my website with Google, and we started off with a $100 Google AdWords budget, and we got up to about $770
uh-huh.
a month, and that's how we were building it. Same thing with him when we started last Christmas, 2009, that big influx of new patients, so we went from, we averaged about 18 to 22, so about 20.
Okay.
And we had about 30 that month or something like that, 29 or 30, and then it kind of went back to its normal things. So we tried that, and then in January I said, that's it. I'm not, the Google thing is, let's see what happens with my practice if we just cut off everything. And January, February, no change. Everything just stayed the same, 22 new patients a month. So I said, good, don't need Google. And then we came across your stuff. I've been getting your emails for about 2 years, mm-hmm. ever since I first started as a chiropractor. And I was looking at it, I'm like, you know what, this makes sense.
When you say you've been getting my stuff the last 2 years, what have you been getting?
Your emails that you send out to your email list.
Okay.
Like just here's a free video. Here, listen to the five videos that you sent out just recently.
Yes. Hey, sorry to interrupt, but if I lose you, I'll call you back, okay? I failed to charge my phone overnight, and it's got one bar left, so hopefully it'll
okay.
get us through. If not, I'll call you back. So, okay, so you stopped doing some marketing, you joined on with us, and then what did you do differently?
You sent us, we got the Fertile Ground Manual probably 3 weeks after we joined you. So we joined actually February 22nd, you sent everything out. We probably got it March 14th.
Okay.
And that's it. Bought white lab coats, changed everything. The book from front to back. I do your new patient, your results of tests. Pretty much the only difference was we did similar things to what you recommend, but the thing was, you know, if I can accept your care, or if I think I can accept your care, I will, and if I can't, I won't.
Okay.
On the first visit, and then on the second visit, we said, how important is this to you to get fixed? And that made a difference. People were like, it's really important. And it cut down my results of tests from 15 minutes to 2. I was like, great, let's get started. And those people were great.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a little bit of a difference. But the 31 new patients, that's why I called Larry, was because I was baffled. I'm a big numbers guy. I follow my numbers very well. I know where every new patient comes from. I know my numbers. I just was baffled. How was it just a change in consciousness? We just brought Delta Donna's vibe to the practice? I don't know. But I thought it was important that you guys would know. I would want to know if I offered a service and it worked very well for people.
Sure.
They called me and told me.
Now, where do they come from, those new ones?
That's what I'm hunting down, and I asked Larry if he could send me some stats, but it's kind of hard because all you guys really do is just use an email list and email it out. So it was really tough. I pretty much use Google Analytics to everything. Spine health showed up on average probably 10 times on my Google Analytics in March, April, which means that 10 people went from spine health to my website. Mm-hmm. So I that's definitely all you, because I wouldn't drive them to spine right. health.
Are we emailing your patients?
Yeah, almost 500.
Okay, great. And are you doing any snail mail to your list?
Yes. Yeah, we do the ROT. We send them a letter. 2 weeks later, we send them a letter. But it's like I said, we've only been with you for 2 months. So we're not to the point where a third letter is being sent.
Have you sent out the newsletter yet, or to your patients? Snail mail. The Roy's in good hands.
No, I haven't snail mailed the newsletter. I've been doing the postcards.
The blog postcards?
The blog postcards.
Okay. Well, you know what? You may want to. If you're, you know, if your overhead is, if you got at least $6,000 to $8,000 to $10,000 a month profit pre-tax after expenses, and your list is how long? Big?
Yeah, almost 500.
When you're ready, it's going to, sorry to interrupt, but that 500 might cost you, you know, another $700 a month, but it sounds like your list is pretty responsive, which tells me that prior to joining on with us, you probably weren't recommending, you know, long-term treatment plans. Is that correct? Even before you came a member with us?
No, I was.
Like, what kind of long-term? What was it?
Like the cash practice system, the 1 year, pretty much the first 2 months are, you know, two times a week, and then you get down to...
Did you get many referrals? When you were averaging 20 new patients a month, how many of those were referrals, would you say?
Half of them.
Okay, so you had 10 referrals a month. All right. Well, listen, you're doing something right. You know, I don't know if... I don't really think, you know, giving one-year treatment plans is why you got referrals.
No.
I think it has to do with your rapport with your patients, your results, your likability factor of you and your staff. I do believe that if you can afford it, once you start mailing another mailing other than the blog postcard, also that way every 2 weeks you get a mailing, you should get up to maybe 35 to 40 in maybe 6 months from now as far as, you know, new patients. So that should double your new patients. What's your office hours?
9:30 to 7:00.
Monday through Thursday. And what's the name of your office?
Crowfoot Chiropractic.
Okay. And you're in Canada. So,
Canada.
And that's, I don't think it's as chiropractic friendly as here in the States. I may be wrong. But it's unusual for me to speak to a doctor in Canada that recommended, you know, long-term annual, you know, or one-year treatment plans.
Yeah, it's the school. It's the CMCC school. The ones that graduate from there don't believe in long-term care. If you got back pain, let's adjust you 4 times, and the pain will go away, and we'll see you next time you have back pain.
Well, what's your treatment recommendations now, Nico?
Well, we do a lot of curve correction in our office. Like, that's how I take an x-ray, upper cervical type stuff.
Yeah.
I do blare upper cervical. So we always get the curve in there, and I say, you know, it's going to take some time to fix.
Okay, so you're still doing long-term treatment plans?
Yeah, not a lot of people sign them. We don't have people on plans, but our recommendations are long term.
Well, what do they actually comply to, or what do they end up doing?
My PVA is 24.
Is that PVA? Is that the factor in the lifetime value, or just their initial treatment plan? Like, how do you calculate that?
Lifetime, whatever we see in a month divided by new patients.
Okay, so yeah, that's can confuse some of the listeners, because that factors in a lot of visits that are unrelated to people coming in just for their symptoms. If you had to guess with how long the average person stays, let's say a patient stays but doesn't refer somebody else and doesn't stay on for whatever you call wellness or maintenance, if that's what you do or introduce your patients. If they just came in for a problem and they left, how many visits do you get average? What would be the
10 to 12.
Okay. And so is that something that you would recommend to them, those 10 to 12, or is that just, that's how long they stayed and they stopped coming in?
Either that's how long they stay and they stop coming in, or we just, from the first day, I sense that they just want relief. And I tell them, you know, we're going to do this. Let's see you almost daily the first week. And they get through about two, maybe the third week, and then they're done because they're out of pain.
Okay. Tom, what percentage of your patients you sense are that type of patient?
Probably 25% that come in through the door.
25% you sense what again?
They want a quick fix. We got a lot of the middle-aged, 40-year-old weekend warrior guys.
Mm-hmm. And how did you sense that? What triggers your opinion of what they want?
I ask them during the new patient consult. I say, you know, what's your goal for coming to my office? Like, my shoulder hurts. I want to get out of pain. And then I'll say something cheeky like, well, you know, Tylenol is a lot cheaper than chiropractic.
Have you tracked, when somebody refers to you, you said you average about 10 referrals a month. Is that correct?
Right. About that.
Okay. I recommend, if you haven't done so, to in the last 6 months to get to find, so you, every new patient that's been referred in, you know who they are. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know who referred them? I think it would be smart to take the last 6 months of those, which is, you know, 60 patients roughly, give or take, and find out who referred those 60 and find out what type of care they received. Because you may or may not find, because every practice is slightly different, you might have you in general might be the total anomaly, so, you know, this might not be of any value to our listeners if it's not accurate, but you may find that the majority of people that refer to you are the ones that stayed for short-term treatment, not long-term. But you may not find that. But if you find that to be the case, it's pretty pretty revealing. What's the population of your town?
1.1 million.
Okay. So, you know, and I'm not saying you should do this, but I think you should, you know, behind the scenes, slowly, gradually gather some statistics on this, since you like to, you don't seem to be afraid of stats. Is that, you know, you may find that if you I'm not saying you should do it or not, because ultimately, you know, results is all that matters in your office, but you know, you may find that if they all did relief care and you weren't introducing anything other than that, you might be getting 50 new patients in a month, and and potentially, and then have more people stay on whatever wellness or maintenance is. Like, how do you position that to patients, assuming that you do, like if they...
A relief type person that wants maintenance, is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, do you coin a phrase for them coming back in the future, even if they're, and if they do come back, are they coming back because they're symptom-free or because they, you know, they just want
to... Yeah, when they're done with the, when they're out of pain and we're at that ninth or tenth visit and they're like, you know what, doc, I feel great. I felt great for the last two visits. I say, that's great. We're gonna do a scan to see how much you've changed since you've come in, and that's it. We're done with care. Now, it's completely up to you what you want to do. You can either come back when this happens again, or if you fall off your mountain bike again, or you come in once a month and get your spine checked like most of the patients do, just like how they see a dentist every 6 months. Most people use their spine a lot more than their teeth. Come in once a month and we'll maintain good spinal health.
And
some people say yes, some people say no.
Okay, do you know, and how about the people that sign up for a year plan? Is it easier or more difficult to get them to come back after that year? Have you found them to reactivate or them to be referring to you?
More difficult.
More difficult.
More difficult for sure.
Okay. And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I hope you're not just trying to tell me what I want to hear.
No, they're more difficult for sure. And you were telling me something earlier that I wanted to agree with. You wanted me to get the 60 last referred patients to my office and see how much they're referring or if they're doing long-term care. What's happening is that they do long-term care. The ones that were referred by a friend that are on long-term care, they do long-term care. And then they're.
No, I understand. What I meant was I want to know who referred those 60. Were they more the short-term people or the long-term people? Like, let's say I stayed for 12 visits and I stopped and I was happy.
It's going to be a clean mix. I think it's going to be a close 50-50.
Okay. All right.
But I will get the exact stat.
Somewhere in there, there's an opportunity to have a dramatic increase in stat, and I think it's going to be improving your relief care recommendations and possibly, like, what's your annual, how many visits is that in a year, if someone chooses?
My total office?
Yeah. No, like, if someone chooses correction.
In a year, on average, 50, maybe.
50 visits?
Depends how serious they are.
Okay, and how much would that be per visit on average, or total?
$50, so $2,500? How about that?
And so 50 visits, how many of those visits would be used up in the first 90 days, you think?
Would stop in the first 90 days?
Well, if they end up staying for 50 visits within that year, how many of those visits were taken up during the first 90 days?
A
little more than half?
Yes.
Okay, and then then they're probably averaging once a month for the remainder of the year?
Twice a month for 4 months or something like that, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let me ask you this question, if you're open to answering it. How much are you collecting a month right now?
Yeah, chiropractic, in March, we did $27,000.
Okay. And what's your overhead, not counting your salary?
20.
20.
I've got ridiculous overhead.
Why is it so high?
Both my wife and I both just got out of school. Student loans are high. Our lease right now is $40 a square foot. I know that sounds ridiculous.
Per year? That's a per year quote. $40 per foot per year, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, per year.
All right, so you're like at $3 a foot, a little over. How many square feet do you have?
1,200.
So you rent about 36 to 3,800 a month? Maybe
6,400.
What's that?
6,400 a month.
6,400?
6,400 a month.
Is your rent?
Is my rent.
Wow.
I know, it's the biggest thing to...
Yeah.
I've been thinking about.
When's your lease up?
2 years.
In 2 years. Okay. All right. Well, you got to do what you got to do. I just think that it's going to be easier to build your relief care portion of your practice than it is going to build your corrective care portion of your practice. So, you know, I would probably say to possibly, you know, if you know a patient is really wanting corrective care, if that's how you coin it, then I guess accept it, realizing that it's almost like you're getting the money up front, but you might not ever see them or get referrals from them again after that year. And then maybe there's probably some patients that you're not sure which. So depending on the mood you're in that day, you might try to, you know, a little bit sell them on the long term because you're not sure. They're not really giving you a lot of feedback, and you know they need the care based on their symptoms and your findings, and so you really want to help them, and so you might be tempted to really try to convince them that the longer-term care is what they need, and so there might be some of those you're losing because you weren't sure, so you went for it. I don't know. Do you have how many patients do you think a week do you that don't choose either option and just go home and think about it and never come back?
Oh yeah, we get a few of those.
Would you say two or three a week? Two a week? A little more?
Probably two a month.
Two a month.
The new patients that come in and look at a care plan and don't come back.
Okay, all right. Okay. Well, what do you think is your strongest part of your practice, and what do you think is the weakest part of your practice right now? Which may include you or your staff or your patients or your whatever.
Yeah, definitely the weakest part is procedures. Our procedures start and fall off. And strongest part is probably my rapport. People really do like me.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I get that. I feel that. So what do you mean by procedures is kind of your weakest?
Like when we started these stick letters?
Yes.
My CAs, I'm not blaming them, it's 100% me, but we fall off the bandwagon. And then a few new patients don't get their letters mailed out and... So whenever a new procedure is put into our office, it doesn't get started very well, or it falls off.
Is it because the systems to tag or tickle or remind people to do what they do don't effectively remind them, or they are reminded, but they just flake and they don't get it done that day and they procrastinate? What do you think?
Both. Sometimes they flake and sometimes we're not reminding them.
Okay.
So really, sometimes they flake, sometimes I flake.
And if you or they flake, and I appreciate your honesty, because we all flake sometimes, but if somebody flakes, is it because they think, you think, or your staff thinks that, gee, I just was overwhelmed today, I just don't have time? It's like, you know, we close in 10 minutes and I didn't get that done, and, you know, maybe I'll get to it tomorrow. And
they're overwhelmed. No, they're not overwhelmed. I just clean cut forgetting.
It's forgetting, not intentionally not doing?
Yeah, no, I don't know my staff, but we were down to one right now just because one quit, but he's fantastic. I mean, he doesn't want to not do things, he just completely forgets.
Okay. All right, well, you may want to get some kind of tickler system that's not manual, that's computer generated. That may or may not help. You can talk to Larry in my office about that. You may be a candidate for getting ACT, which is a contact management database that's not expensive. We use Infusion, but it's expensive. It's a bigger platform for business like ours. But you may want to consider getting ACT. It may help you with that.
We just switched to CairoTouch last week. We just went from a file system to a paperless system that has, I like the procedures for recalls.
Okay, so you might be able to use that to remind you on stick for patients?
Yeah, alert systems.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, I'm sure you can probably use that, but that's good. Well, you know, I think, based on this call, if you get those snail mail newsletters out to your list, I do believe that if you do a lot of this stuff, you can start releasing, like, how many patients choose correction a month, would you say?
40%?
40%.
Yeah, I'll give you that number.
Okay. I'd be really curious, maybe let me know later if you find these stats. I'd be curious to really know if your patients that are referred in were referred in more by corrective care patients or patients that chose relief care. Now, psychologically, what may be happening in your office is those that are choosing relief care almost don't, it's almost like they don't, it's hard to explain, they might not value the relief care as much because they feel like they're choosing it because that's all they think they can afford. So they may not be thinking they're getting the best of you or what chiropractic has to offer. So they're at a pain, but they're not enthused about it because based on what you've told them, there's more to chiropractic than just that. But offices that I know that just do relief care and patients feel like that's what it is in the office, there's nothing better to get, and they do relief care with a lot of perceived value and they really, you know, embellish the experience, then those patients psychologically feel they don't feel it's kind of like they don't feel not embarrassed by coming in.
That they're missing out. That they're not missing out on something.
Yeah, I mean their self-esteem as a patient goes up, I think, when they feel like they didn't let the doctor staff down because they're not choosing. They're not, if they're a people pleaser, if your patients are a pleaser, but they can't afford corrective care. And by the way, when someone can't afford it, doesn't mean necessarily money. It might mean that, you know what, I don't get it. I'm not sold that I need to come in for a year, 6 months, or 8 months. That alone, I mean, there's people that would say no to you even if you gave them the corrective care for free just because the expenditure of time and some skepticism. So there's a lot of psychology that goes on when you give somebody an A, B option and they choose the lower option. It kind of ruins them a little bit. Their self-esteem goes down as a patient. So, you know, toy with that idea. Because I feel if you're in the 1.2 million area, you know, you should be getting 50 new patients a month, and you will down the road once you figure this all out. You know, 50 new ones a month that are all relief care but have a lifetime value of the same number that your lifetime value already is, meaning your PVA. So because you'll keep a lot more, you'll get a lot more referrals. So maybe for right now, and I don't know what your stat is, but maybe right now, you know, 3 out of 10 new patients end up referring within 2 years or less. you know, that might turn into 8 out of 10 refer in 2 years or less because, you know, you're mailing to them twice a month. They're clear as to who you are, what you do, and what the benefits are, versus there's a, now that might be, you know, they hear terms of subluxation, they hear some philosophy, but yet you're treating their symptom. You're giving them an option, but they're choosing the symptom part, but they know if they refer somebody in that they're going to get the same pitch, and maybe the person that they refer in they know is very analytical and may be turned off by it, that portion of the communication. You know, but I don't think you should make some drastic changes right now because you can't afford to. But I do think I think you're not at the bullseye sweet spot yet in terms of your message being congruent with what they want and how to nurture that relationship over time.
Yeah, since joining with you, for sure, I've cut back on the care plans. Like, I've been showing less patients, new patients, the care plans.
Yeah.
Just because I like what you have to say, and I am a young doc, and I adopted the care plan thing from another person that I admired, a cervical guy, and now I'm listening to you. I'm willing to completely turn the practice around 180 degrees. I already have.
I think you're going to be a rock star. You know, and be very aware of the words you use when you communicate to patients, because the more words you use that they don't know that you have to define, the less effective the communication. So try to use words that they already know. You know, try to like dummy down your communication, believe it or not. It'll be more effective.
I agree 100%.
You know, but anyway, well, listen, I think I got everything out of you I needed to get. And you did a great job articulating really what's going on. I really do feel like I understand you and your practice. And just keep in touch and call me once in a while on Mondays. And I'm looking forward to hearing more about how your practice has grown. And just, you know, stay in touch with me and my staff.
Yeah, I'll do this little step that you wanted me to pick up.
Yeah, and email me. Let me know.
I will.
All right, man. Have a great day. Nice talking to you, Amico.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.